Hey, good evening, everyone. We're broadcasting live. March 11th. Today's quote is about sand on a fingernail. The Buddha liked to, not like to, the Buddha was accustomed to or was, he was really good at finding examples in nature and coming up with comparisons between the nature of the world. The natural world and the nature of reality. So able to show similar, using simple examples in nature. So it's a very common thing, common tool. So one day he picked up a few grains of sand on his fingernail. And he asked Ananda, he asked a bunch of bhikkhus. He asked the bhikkhus, Tanging manyata bhikkave katamang nuko bahuttarang. Tell me, what do you think, monks, which is more? Yo vayang maya parito nakasikayang pangsu arupitva arupitvo the little bit of sand that I've put on my fingernail va or ayang maha patavi or this great earth. He used the simile for different things. In one place, he talks about, well, not exactly the simile, but he says, this, even a little bit of there's one place where he talks about a little bit of feces, a little bit of manure, cow dung, or human dung, excrement, a little bit of excrement. And you say, if you have a little bit of excrement, is it any better than a lot of excrement? Is a little bit of excrement suddenly beautiful, suddenly wonderful? And they said, no, even a little bit of excrement is a bad thing. And the Buddha said, oh, in the same way, even a little bit of suffering, a little bit of samsara, a little bit of rebirth is still bad. Still not the way. Still not a goal. Not something you should look for, should seek for. But here he uses this little bit to say that's like the number of beings that are born as humans. Being born as a human is a rare thing. The number of beings that are born as animals, as insects or rodents, birds, and even the higher mammals, fish, all these various types of animals, it's like the great earth. It's far, far more than only a few. And even what he doesn't say here, but what he says elsewhere is apaka te manusesu ye jana paragamino. Few are the humans who actually make it to a good destination, actually headed in the right direction. So being born as a human being is like winning a lottery. And most of us just squander it, waste it. It's like just a coincidence, and then it's gone. We're back into the pool of samsara. So there are many ways that we have to remember to take advantage of being born as a human being. We have to act like human beings. There are human beings that act like hell beings. There are human beings that act like ghosts. There are human beings that act like animals. And that's where they're going, that's where they're heading. Someone who is full of anger and hatred. It's like they're a demon on earth. A person who is full of greed, wanting this, wanting that, can't overcome their wanting. It's like a ghost. Hungry ghost, wailing, wanting. Never satisfied, like in the Christmas Carol, Marley, Scrooge's partner, who was destined to walk the earth, never satisfied, because he was full of greed when he was alive. Beings are full of delusion. Arrogant and conceited, and just like cats, you know, cats are so arrogant and conceited, so many of them. And dogs are just ignorant and kind of dumb. So if we're keen on ignorance and arrogance and conceit and all these things, if we're caught up in drugs and alcohol, deluding and befuddling our minds. It's the way, it's just like being an animal. You know? It's like being an animal a human animal. But then there are other humans that are like angels. There are other humans like that are like gods. There are other humans that are like Buddhas. And these are the ones that we aim for. And there are ways as a human being to be like an angel or a god or even a Buddha. We may not be a Buddha, but we can be like one. We follow the Buddha's example. We cultivate mindfulness and clarity and wisdom. We have to act. We have to be mindful of our position as human beings. I've been getting calls lately, and I have to say something. Religion really does strange things to people. Spirituality. Sometimes it's just kind of funny, because people come up to me all the time and say the wackiest things, and the emails I get, and now the phone calls I'm getting. But sometimes it's, you have to be mindful of yourself. You know, someone called me up today, not to get upset or anything, but just to talk about this. Called me up today and just asked if this was the International Meditation Center, I think. And without introducing himself, without asking how I was, if I've got time to talk, can I answer questions? Just started asking me questions about monks and why monks weren't keeping the rules and why I'm not doing my videos. And I didn't want to answer him. I didn't feel comfortable, because I didn't feel like he was mindful. That's not how you start a conversation with someone. when people come up, when someone comes to you, when you approach someone, you should ask how they are, you should introduce yourself, and you should be mindful of the fact that you don't know this person. And so to ask them deep questions about this, not deep, but personal questions really about monastic life and why monks this and that, without ever even without even telling me your name. And I asked this guy, I said, do I know you? Or so? And anyway, it wasn't a big deal. I thought afterwards that because I didn't answer and I was just quite quiet, and he started laughing at me and then hung up. And, you know, that's past. That's not a problem. I'm not trying to come on here to vent. But I know this kind of attitude, sometimes we're not mindful. And we have to be mindful. Because I think it's because it's out of our realm. You know, we get good at, we're good at being human in the frame of reference that we have. So when we go to work or school, we get good at playing the game. So we get good at saying the right things. And as a monk, I am proficient at being a monk and proficient at, you know, but when you're taken out of your comfort zone or what's familiar, and you can't rely upon habit. I think this goes for a lot of situations. You know, when you're sick, people can be very irritable and unmindful when they're sick, because it's a situation that they're not accustomed to. When we're surrounded by people, or when we're in public, or this is by the importance of understanding mindfulness. It's quite different from habit, it's different from concentration. It's not something you can build up. Something you have to be, well, you build it up, but you build it as a skill, and then you use it. You have to use it. You have to be mindful. You have to remember yourself. And so let this be a lesson. It's an interesting lesson of acting appropriately when you talk to people, when you engage with people. This is kind of a thing that's not related to being not related to meditation, but also very much related to meditation. It means how we behave in the world around us. The things we do, the things we say. It's not meditation. And people often ask me questions about what should I do in this situation? What should I do? How should I behave as a human being in this situation? Or the other situation. And these are difficult questions to answer. People are expecting a solution to their problems. But it's very much, so it's unrelated to meditation, but very much related to meditation, because I can't give you the answer. That's not how it works. The requirement is a foundation that is capable of dealing with your own problems. You know, you have to find the solution for yourself. That's the only way it works. I tell you the answer, and then you go and do this or do that. It's artificial, you see. And whatever you say or whatever you do, it's not from the heart. It's not real. So it requires mindfulness as a base. That's why it's so important. If you want to truly be a human, truly live as a human being, you need mindfulness as the base. You always, always come back to mindfulness. Or sati. Mindfulness may not be the best word. Oh. Right. I meditated earlier, and then somehow the timer didn't work, so I clicked it late. So I think it says I'm just finishing meditation now. I did my hour. If you're wondering why I'm supposed to be meditating when I'm doing this. Because we've got everybody signs in for when they're going to meditate, and I was doing meditation like an hour ago, over an hour ago, and then it didn't click for some reason. So after I did walking, I checked it, and then I clicked it. So it's a half an hour late. I'm not just clicking and then not meditating. That's the danger with this. Can't tell whether people are actually meditating. I don't know why anyone would. Anyway. So yeah, that's the quote for this evening. Let's give a little Pali. Where's the Pali? Apakate sata ye manusesu pachajayanti. Even so, monks, few are those beings that are reborn as humans. Atako ete yeva bahuttara sata ye anyatra manusehi pachajayanti. Far more are those beings that are born as something other than human. Tasmati habikave evang sikitabang. Therefore, O monks, here you should train thus. Appamatta viharisama. We will dwell with appamatta, not intoxicated, not confused in the mind, mindful basically. Evan hivo bhikkave sikitabhang. Thus should you train, O bhikkhus. This is the Sanyutta Nikaya. Nakasika Sutta, the fingernail sutta. Nakasika, what is sika? Naka is fingernail, sika. The top, the tip. Nakasika is the tip of the fingernail. So, that's the Dhamma for tonight. And if people have questions, I'm going to now post the hangout. So you're welcome to come and ask questions there. And I expect anyone who comes on to be mindful and to introduce themselves and to be respectful and mindful of the sorts of questions that should be asked. And now that I've scared everyone away, no one dares come on, I'm sure. It's just strange that people, there's a certain familiarity where people will just come up to me and start talking. There's someone at university, I think I mentioned this, he came up to me and said, look, you can't walk around wearing that kind of clothes and not have people want to come up and ask you about it and expect people to not come up and ask you. And I turned to him and I said, why not? It's like, mind your own business. But that guy turned out to be quite nice. He was actually quite respectful. And recently, another person called us from a radio station, and they want to come by tomorrow. They're going to come by at 11 tomorrow, which is bad timing. That's right when we're eating, but okay. And they want to ask us about our program. Basically to give us free publicity, which is awesome. Very kind of them. So people are starting to find out about us. We just have to be ready for it. And I think I have to start screening my calls because this person wasn't very happy with me in the end, I don't think. I wasn't answering. You see, there's stories of monks, arahants even, who wouldn't answer questions. They just wouldn't say anything. When a question or when someone was saying something to them that just wasn't. It's because of indifference. Monks are not like the Buddha. I've done this before, and people can be very upset at you for not answering their questions because they're so used to, social. This is the social way is to have, someone, when you talk to someone, you should answer them. And so this person was saying today, this is just an interesting point. He was saying, he said, I've talked to a lot of people and I've never had someone not answer, just not say anything. And I didn't reply to that. And then he said, I'm not sure it's what the Buddha would have done, or basically would have wanted or something, basically criticizing and saying, this is what you're doing is wrong. But the funny thing is, why do I care? Why does it matter to me what you think? It doesn't. I mean, it's something about being a monk that we're very much outside of this. I didn't come to you, you called me. It's an interesting point for me as a monk to be in this sort of situation. But one interesting aspect of it is the power that we have. We're not required to. You know how you have sometimes you play into other people's games? Bait, bait and switch. You ever heard of this idea of bait and switch, where someone baits you with something, and then if you get into it with them, then they start on something else and they drag you on and on and into something that's often quite unwholesome and useless speech. And we don't have the responsibility to play other people's games, I guess is the general point that I'm making. That's interesting to me. I think as a monk, I have that luxury not having to play into people's games. And it's really a power of having left the world, because there's nothing you can do to me. I'm happy to help. I told this guy, if you want to learn meditation, I'm happy to help. But that wasn't really the interest. Anyway. We have a great power in mindfulness, in not worrying, not clinging, not needing anything from other people. Anyway, enough talk. Thank you all. I guess there's no questions, so that's all for this evening. Wishing you all good practice and good night.